I'm Nevada basketball's Jordan Caroline, and you listen to Pack Center.
What is up, Wolfpack? Thanks for tuning into Pack Center. I'm your host, the former ASBN play-by-play and color commentator, Jordan Burns, here with the human stats book, Garrett Hirschberg. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at Pack Center NV, Instagram Pack Center Nevada, and Facebook Pack Center Nevada. In this week's episode, we've got football destroying SJSU, basketball dominating the regular season, and volleyball season finally coming to an end. Let's get it started right after this short commercial break. Arrive alive, don't drink and drive. There's a brand new transportation service starting up in Reno. Chauffeur will take you and your car home at an affordable price. To order a ride, call 775-771-0371. That's 775-771-0371. Chauffeur wants to reduce the number of drunk drivers. Chauffeur gets you and your car home safely. Welcome back. I'm serious, guys. Try this service. It can save your life, and the guys doing this are super great and dedicated and really want to just make a difference in this community. But now I want to talk about a little side projects going on here at Pack Center. If you follow us on social media, especially Instagram, you've probably seen us posting about the Pack Center documentary. Not everyone knows this, but I have a real passion for documentaries, and I've been doing this for years now. And when a great story was presented to me, I had to jump on it. UNR student Ricardo Lucio Galvin steps into the ring for his professional boxing debut Friday night at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. That's November 17th. I have teamed up with Nick Larson from Larson Lab Media to produce a web video and documentary about this guy's rise to fighting. There has been some great storylines coming out of this, including him being DACA. Teaming up with Larson Labs has been incredible. Nick is really talented. We've also been teaming up with Wolfpack What? To gain social media traction, and they're going to be helping us share this video. I've done documentaries for them in the past that have done really well. So the first, and we're looking to team up with some other groups as well. Noticiero Mobile, Wolfpack Radio is probably going to be sharing this as well because they're our parents. And then Reynolds Media Lab will reach out to them. And our first video we're expecting to get released sometime in December before the end of the semester. This has been a great project, and I'm really excited about it. I'm super excited about the fight because we've got all access passes for video and photography. So expect a lot of stuff on social media because we're super excited about this.
As someone who's not been a part of this documentary and only seen what's on social media, I'm pumped. I'm amped for this. I've seen what Nick can do. Nick is a genius. He's a whiz editor. He's done some really cool stuff. Make sure to follow him on Instagram. He's posted a lot of stuff on there regarding this documentary. You're gonna like what he does, and I'm just excited to see the full thing.
Yeah, follow him at Larson Labs Media on Instagram. I've learned a lot from him just in general. The fact that he only started doing media stuff 4 months ago,
really,
and he's years beyond where I am right now, and it blows my mind. And I've been trying to learn as much as I can from this guy, and I think that me and Nick create a good partnership. He's done a lot of videos in the past where they're just like hype videos, moving shots, things like that. And I'm more of the storyteller when it comes to documentaries. And putting our two talents together, I think, is really going to make this video the best it can be.
It's a match made in heaven, y'all.
It really is, and I hope to do more videos like this with Nick in the future. We're actually going to send him out to a volleyball game this weekend on the 18th against Boise State for the final game of the season. And all the photos that you see on social media will be from him there. Garrett, do you have any questions about the documentary?
Yeah, how'd you find this guy?
So my former roommate, Paxton Schmidt, after we had the Dustin Congdon episode, he sent me a text and was like, hey, if you're looking to have boxers on your show, I've got the perfect guy for you, and kind of gave me a little bit of background about this guy, and I was like, you know what, I'll do you one better. I think this guy will make a great video story, documentary, and so I reached out to him and his promoter, and they were instantly like super into it. They've given us access to everything so far. We've got weigh-ins on Thursday. We've got the fight on Friday. And no problems whatsoever. This has honestly been one of the easiest documentaries for me to do logistically, which blew my mind because I thought this was going to be one of the hardest ones to get access to.
I can see how you would think that, with especially with a professional fight, there might be difficulties. But at least you don't have to go through athletics to get press passes.
Yeah, at least we don't have to hit up Jack to get into this one. But, yeah, Terry, his promoter, has been great with it. They've even asked us to do filming for the rest of the fights that night, not just Ricardo's, but a couple fights after that. So,
is Ricardo opening the card?
I believe so. I think that he is the first one. Him and the guy that he's fighting, it's both their debuts. I'm expecting a good fight. You know, Ricardo's tough guy.
If you have a chance, come out to the Reno Event Center. Is that where it is? Or the convention?
So it's the Reno Sparks Convention Center. It's you can find tickets through the Atlantis. I think tickets are only like $35. It's going to be a good fight. You can see me and Nick Larson ringside with our cameras getting some good video. I'm super excited just to be ringside for this. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it should be a ton of fun for you guys.
Definitely. All right, let's move on. Let's take a quick break, a quick music break, and we'll come back with football recaps. What a game this weekend for Nevada football. A 59-14 blowout win at Mackey against SJSU. This game started out back-to-back three and outs for Nevada, and San Jose State was driving. And despite a red zone turnover by the Spartans, Garrett, I thought this game was going to go a completely different way early, and then it just turned around.
You're right. Looking at the fact that Nevada started out so slow, it was a shocker that they came out and put up 59 points against San Jose State. There was no way to predict this. Like,
no, I remember sitting there in the press box looking at you like, is this game going to go on for the next 4 hours like this? Back-to-back turnovers on both sides of the ball. And then all of a sudden, the game just changed momentum, and Nevada was on fire. Damian Baber, man, this guy, he controlled the entire field.
Dude, this man was a one-man wrecking crew on offense and special teams. On defense and special teams. I'm surprised we didn't see him on offense.
Yeah, he could have pulled a J.J. Watt and put him out at wide receiver instead of tight end.
I'm sure he would have scored again.
I'm sure he would have. I just wanted to see him put up more touchdowns. He had three touchdowns as a defensive player, two on interceptions, one for over 100 yards, which is the record for Nevada, and another one on special teams on a...
Coming off a blocked punt.
Coming off a blocked punt where he runs it in for a touchdown. This is the third time in NCAA history that a defensive player has gotten three touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, you're right. He did. This was the first time since 2003 that a player scored three touchdowns on returns.
Gotcha. That's what it was.
Yeah, no. But this defense came to play. Man, this defense was wrecking all sorts of havoc on San Jose State. It was raining sacks in Reno. As we mentioned, Malik Reed had 3.5 sacks. Austin Paulus had a sack. Patrick Clam Chowda had a sack, and Corey Rush had 5 sacks, a half a sack, I mean. I feel bad for that San Jose State quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he went home hurting for sure.
Mom, Dad, I'm bruised up pretty badly. My offensive line quit on me.
Yeah, you know, we talk so much this season about how bad this defense is, and then you come into a game like this, and they look like a Pac-12 defense, you know, against a team like San Jose State. We were talking in the press box that because these are the two worst teams in the Mountain West right now, that whoever loses this game should have to go down to D2. And I think after this one, San Jose State, you got to consider going down a league, I swear.
I don't get why San Jose State's still in the Mountain West. Like, they're not that – they're awful in athletics, especially major sports like football and basketball. Like, they're awful.
No, they definitely are.
I don't get what they
you.
Bring to the Mountain West.
An easy win for the rest of us?
Yeah, but that ruins competition. That ruins your credibility. Like, it's like saying, oh, yeah, we got to play a high school team every year. Like,
I mean, we play easy teams, like a Division 1A team every year as well, you know? So I think San Jose State could go down to Division 1A, play against Cal Poly and UC Davis and things like that, go in that league. But in the Mountain West, I couldn't imagine. I don't know what their score was against Boise and Colorado State and like San Diego State, the top teams in the Mountain West right now. But I'm sure it was awful, just like this game.
You're right. And the defense wasn't the only part of this Nevada offense, Nevada team to show up. The offense was lights out. They showed up when they needed to. They put up as a total 441 yards. Our man Ganji went 16-23 for 232 and three touchdowns, and he also had a rushing touchdown.
Hey, Ganji put up some good numbers this week, especially in points-wise. I mean, three touchdowns in the air and then one on the ground. That's four touchdowns for him. That's, what, 28 points?
Yeah, that's 28 points, and he looked good.
He did look good. I mean, between him and Baber, this game was in the bag.
Yeah, he went to his favorite target quite a bit, as Wyatt had seven receptions for 115 yards and two touchdowns. We really didn't see McClain. Ever since he had a first quarter reception for 9 yards, and that was it.
Yeah, McClain's kind of quieted up in the last few weeks. You haven't seen him put up a lot of big numbers, but Wyatt's been really on top of his game, and OJ's been on top of his game, OJ being O'Leary Orange. O'Leary Orange had two receptions for 60 yards. And these are the guys we want to see on the field right now. I mean, the bigger receivers. You know, McClain Mannix, he's got the speed, and I really miss a lot of those deep balls to him. But the more we're playing smart offense and getting good routes, I mean, Wyatt Demps was hitting dimes on these posts. I remember this one, this like fingertip grab that he made. That he ran. I don't know if he made it to the house or not. I think he got a good like 40-something yards out of it. But we've been going downfield quite a bit. Ganji's arm has been on point. His accuracy has been really good. And then our receivers in general, their routes has been clean. And it's hard to cover us now. I think I just feel bad that we're running out of games now for football.
Yeah, and I think that this game is definitely a confidence booster heading into San Diego this week. It's gonna be a tough one for Nevada. Halfway through the game, or a little bit into the third quarter, Nevada just took all its starters out. Took Ganji out, and they put in Christian Solano. So where's Kamen? Where are you at?
I think Kamen's gotta sit on the bench a little bit longer. I mean, I think we learned a lot from him playing those two games at the beginning of the season, where he just doesn't have the pocket presence that he needs right now. And I think that comes from being not only a freshman, but a small quarterback. His mobile ability isn't sharp enough quite yet. He's running around like a chicken's got his head, like a chicken with its head cut off. I mean, you remember seeing some of those plays where he was sitting out there trying to be Johnny Manziel when he's still just a kid. He's not ready for the big time yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lights and the crowd kind of got to him, and I think Christian Solano was more of his time to shine and get a chance to be on the field. And he did well. He played well.
Yeah, he did. Solano, they ran the ball a lot, so he didn't really throw it, but it's whatever. It's a backup quarterback. You don't expect him to play much.
It was his first time having a starting job. I mean, the only other pass that he's thrown was that
a fake field goal.
Was it a fake field goal? I mean, he's got a touchdown under his belt from that, and just seeing him in the shotgun position in our Nevada offense, it was cool to see him out there. I mean, it's another face. It's the future of Nevada, maybe. You know, it depends on if Kamen can hold onto the ball in his sophomore season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how next year's quarterback battle takes place.
I mean, we still got Ganji for next season, too.
You still got Kamen, and then I think they recruited a quarterback this year.
Probably. I mean,
You always need a quarterback on
Jay
the roster.
Jay Norvell's got to put his work in. You always need to recruit a new quarterback because you always need someone to fill in the spot when Ganji's gone or Kurtin's
gone. Or when
gone.
Someone goes down with injury.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many different factors that you need good quarterbacks for.
Yeah. Let's move forward. Take a look at Nevada's game against San Diego State.
This is going to be a tough one.
It's going to be rough. As San Diego State, they have a record of 8-2 and 4-2 in conference. Their only losses came to Boise and Fresno, and they're 16-point favorites.
I mean, San Diego State has a little bit higher chance of beating us than just that, just the 16 points.
It's possible, yeah.
But, I mean, if we're playing like we played this week and we take this momentum going into this game, and it's away at San Diego, which is a tough place to play. There's a small chance that we could put up a fight. You know, I think that it's a possibility for a shootout, but I'm not super confident in our defense quite yet.
Yeah, San Diego State, they got one guy on offense, Rashad Penny. This man's been killing it all season long. He's got 1,600 rushing touchdowns and 16 TDs so far. This, you know the game plan coming in. You know San Diego State's game plan every year. It's the run of the ball. Last year was Donnell Pumphrey. This year's Rashad Penny. So I think Nevada's going to have a struggle because we've seen how bad they've struggled against the run, i.e. Air Force. And this San Diego team has always been – it's always a tough team. They run the ball well, and they play stellar defense. So I think the Wolfpack offense will struggle like what we saw against Boise.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that the run has always been the challenge for Nevada defensively. So going against this run-heavy team with a running back who's hitting 1,600 yards in a season.
So far, the season's not even over.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. I'm just glad that it's not here at Mackey to watch the bloodbath from the press box. We can watch it at home where I can drown my sorrows in beer.
Yeah. Wait, the press box doesn't have beer.
I said at home so I can drown my sorrows in beer.
Don't steal my line. That was me against Fresno.
Yeah, well, this is going to be me against San Diego. And it's my 21st birthday, so I can actually say that. Yeah, we'll be watching this game at home. You can tune into it on CBS Sports. I know they're not easy to watch if you're a college student like us with no cable. We always have to go to the Little Waldorf or Archie's or anything like that or a sports bar just to be able to watch the game. So tune in to this game. It's going to be a good one. I mean, I'm expecting a shootout at least.
I don't think this game's going to be a good one. This is going to be a typical San Diego State game. They're going to run, they're going to run, and they're going to run, and then score. Nevada's probably not going to do anything on offense.
Oh, well, you heard it here then. Garrett thinks that this game is going to be a blowout against Nevada. I think it's going to be a quick game if all they're doing is running because, you know, choose some clocks. So tune into CBS Sports. We're going to try and watch it as well. And get the beer and the liquor ready because it's going to be a rough one. I am so happy basketball season is finally back. Finally, a sport we can really get hyped on this show, man. We started this season with a two-game homestand, winning both games in dominating and exciting fashion. First game was on Friday against Idaho, where the Wolfpack won 88-64.
Yeah, and let's start this out before the game on Friday. It was a really cool thing that Nevada Athletics did with the ring ceremony, then a banner raising, and the national painter.
Yeah, the national painter was cool because I got photo passes for basketball this season, so I got to go right up to this guy when he was doing it. He sings and paints the national anthem. It's
I can't sing and I can't paint.
Yeah, this guy's got way more talent than I do for sure.
No, but it was really cool. Like everyone was in shock about like that he was doing this. Like it was a really cool. Well, really cool painting he did. Plus the three banners in the rafters, which was cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool ceremony. I mean, the game started really late because of it, but it was awesome. I thought it was really cool to have the big ceremony and things like that and be right up there to watch it like we did this season. And we didn't get that last season, which is cool.
So the game started out a bit slow for the Pack, getting the rust off, and then with 5 minutes left in the first half, they turned it on. And the Martin twins are ballers. They
right?
truly are ballers. Now, it was questionable. Caleb was questionable to play due to that turf toe. And he showed up scoring 26 points and grabbing 7 rebounds off the bench.
Yeah, Cody, he did not look injured out there.
Cody had a great game as well. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And it was great to see this Nevada team just come out here and dominate in that second half. Like, this is what I expect out of this Wolfpack team against lesser teams.
Yeah, over 20 points victory there, which is insane. Like, and that's a great way to start your season, coming out on top like that. And I like how you mentioned the Martin twins, because they have been the players to watch right now. I mean, you can't tell them apart when they're on the field other than their numbers. One's 10 and one's 11. But
I remember we asked Jordan Caroline who the players to watch for. They said the Martin twins.
I know. Everyone says the Martin twins are the players to watch. And I think that they've definitely showed us why. They're incredible. I mean, every single one of these games, I've been out there with my photo, with my camera, and the majority of the photos that I have are of the Martin twins, because one of them always has the ball, it seems like. And they're always on fire. I mean, Jordan Caroline's also been doing really well, too. So between, like, the Martin twins and Jordan Caroline, and even Kendall Stevens, he's a little bit quieter on the field, but or the court, but he does have an impact.
You're right. He has had an impact. And there's one knock to this Nevada team, is that they don't have – well, there's two knocks. They don't have size. They don't really have, like, a center to grab rebounds. And they really don't have a three-point shooter specialist like last year when they had Marcus Marshall. Kendall Stevens is a three-point shooter, but he's not, like, a sniper. Like, he's not going to, like, just shoot it, like, if there's a defender in his face like what Marcus did last year.
Yeah, we've definitely been seeing a lot more points made in the paint, you know, on the rim and things like that. And I remember last season we hit a lot more threes than we did this season. Threes are actually pretty rare, right, for this Nevada team.
Yeah, and seeing points in the paint was a big thing against Rhode Island in their second game, which they won 88-81. It was a great game, great atmosphere, despite it being a late start on a Monday. It was an 8:30 tip-off.
Yeah, I was falling asleep there for a little bit.
And I had a 7:30 the next day.
Yeah, it was a little weird having such a late game on a Monday night. It wasn't super crowded, but, I mean,
there were still 7,000 people there.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like it. Towards the end, when Nevada was driving and they were doing really well, I mean, the crowd was getting into it. Okay, I have to talk about this kid that won the Canes for a year.
That kid's lucky.
Yeah, they do this. Was that during halftime?
It was during halftime, yeah.
Yeah, they do this halftime competition where they pull a student out from the crowd and they're like, all right, if you can hit a half-court shot, you get free Canes for a year. And the guy made it, and the crowd went crazy.
I told Jordan before he shot, this is going to end horribly.
Yeah, no, Garrett's like, he's going to miss. And then the next thing, bang, he makes it. And the whole student section goes up. The whole crowd goes up. Everyone gets out of their seats. And this guy's like, I don't even think he believed that he made it. I turned to Garrett, and I was like, Garrett, that's my new best friend.
Yeah, no, but getting into the actual game, Nevada played stellar defense. They did a great job of getting their hands on the ball, getting their paws on the ball, and deflecting a lot of passes, which resulted in steals and fast break points. Jordan Caroline looked like Superman out there.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, I got some photos of Jordan Caroline reaching out to block a ball, and he looked great at that. I mean, between Jordan Caroline and the Martin twins, this Nevada team is unlike anything that we've ever seen.
Yeah, Jordan Caroline had 28 points and 12 rebounds, another double-double, marked that first double-double of the season. Cody Martin off the bench again, 24 points, and 12 of those points came at the free throw line. That's something that Nevada did excellently against Rhode Island. They got to the free throw line so many times.
Yeah, there's a lot of fouls in the game. And I think that's what made the game go so long, is that we're trying to take a lot of timeouts for penalties and things like that. And
for fouls, you mean?
They're not called penalties?
No, they're fouls.
Oh. We had to take a lot of time out for fouls, and that added time to the game.
Mm-hmm, because it slows the game down, the clock stops, and yeah.
That's one thing I did notice in the Rhode Island game, is that the energy on the court would go up and down quite a bit because of all the fouls and all the times that we had and all the timeouts. Is they'd be going on, they'd be driving, both sides would be going quick back and forth, and then all of a sudden there would be a foul and it would take all the air out of the play.
Yeah, no. The energy was good for an 8:30 tip off on a Monday, but I can't imagine like the tip energy that's going to be there on weekend games, especially during conference play. I better see the roof on Mackey like blow up because it's so loud.
Yes, but as you like as we said, it was a great start to our season so far. Two wins back to back at home, getting the crowd really into it. I mean, Nevada fans, they needed a good winning team.
No, this Rhode Island win was a good resume win. And when I say resume win, I mean like this was a good win when you look back at the tournament time and look at seeding. This is a Rhode Island team that's competing in the A-10 championship each year. So it's going to be a really good win that I think both teams needed, but Nevada was lucky enough to come out and it was a 7-point win.
Yeah, I think this actually kind of shows how Nevada's season is going to be. I mean, especially going against competition like Rhode Island this early in the season. I can only imagine what it's going to be like when we finally get into the heart of the season. Momentum's really going for us. We're playing Mountain West teams, and I think we're going to do really well in conference play.
Yeah, we expect big things from this Nevada Wolfpack team.
That being said, let's take a quick look at this upcoming week. Our first game we're going to talk about is the Santa Clara game that was last night. We're going to talk about it as a preview game because the time of this recording was Wednesday before the game, and so we don't actually know how it goes. We're hoping that Nevada did well. Expecting Nevada to do well. They go against Santa Clara at Santa Clara, where they are 1-0. Nevada is favored by 5 points. I don't think this is going to be as close a game as the spread says, though.
See, I'm not sure because this isn't going to be Nevada's first true road test. Santa Clara is a tough place to play, but it's a small gym, 4,000 seats. So it's going to be something unlike Mackey Lawler has this team has seen. Like, because Lawler is such a bit much bigger a venue. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's going to be tough. It's Santa Clara's. It's in Santa Clara, so I think Nevada comes away with a win. I'm not sure how close it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't really know how close it's going to be. I think it's going to be more than 5-point difference, but I definitely agree with you that it's going to come out with a win. Let's take a look at this weekend, this game on Saturday, November 18th, against Pacific at Pacific. Pacific comes into this one 0-1. We expect a huge win by Nevada.
Oh, yeah, I expect nothing else except a huge W when they travel to Stockton to face Pacific. Last year, when they faced Pacific, Nevada won 77-67. And Stockton, the Pacific team is not that good. They're 0-1. They lost to Stanford. But this Nevada team's good. This Pacific team's not so good. I expect big things.
Yeah, I expect big things from them, too. Last year when we played them, Nevada won 77-67, so a 10-point victory last season. I think that our team this season is going to be even better. So I expect that to get – I think this game is going to be kind of close to that Idaho game where it was over 20-point victory.
Yeah, I can see something like that happening as well.
It's just different because it's going to be away. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into an away game. Home court advantage, things like that. So we'll see. I'm excited to see how Nevada does on this little bit of a road stint, these next two games, see how they fare on the road, and that could mean big things. I mean, I think Santa Clara is going to be a good test because they're the biggest opponent mm-hmm. away for this weekend.
Yeah, it definitely will be.
Finally, there's a game against Davidson on November 21st, and that's going to be at home. Davidson... historically, has been a good team, but last year
mediocre.
They had a mediocre season. I mean, they've started off this season 2-0, similar to Nevada. So I mean, it could be a decent competition. Last season, they ended their season 17-15, not a great record, but so far so good for them. So I mean, that could be a good game. What do you think, Garrett?
I think Davidson in the past has always been a tournament team. Steph Curry went there. So ever since Curry was there, this team has been competitive. So I think this should be a really good game, and it should be an interesting one. I think Nevada will come out with a W because they are the better team, but it should be close.
So post our predictions, Nevada will be coming out of this next week 5-0. And let's see. We'll come back next week and talk about it on our show and see if Garrett and I are correct on this prediction. I mean, personally, I don't see a lot of teams that Nevada would lose to.
No, not this early in the season. They really don't have that, like, road test. Like, last year they played St. Mary's. St. Mary's, their first game, St. Mary's was ranked number 17th in the nation last year. So it's good that Nevada is starting out with, like, lesser talent or lesser teams, building that momentum, building that confidence. And they got some tough road tests coming up.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the only thing they've got to really look out for Nevada is how they play defensively, how they are on rebounds and things like that. And if they can step up on defense, if Josh Hall has been playing great, if Josh Hall keeps up the momentum, Jordan Caroline, the Martin twins, I think that we got a great season ahead of us and a great week of basketball. And I'm super excited. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with women's basketball. Women's basketball kicked off their season as well this week, going 1-1, starting their season off with a loss at Utah, 87-61. This is not a way that Amanda Levins wanted to start off her debut season as head coach.
You're right. The team got blown out in their first game. Granted, it was against Utah. Utah's a very tough team to play, especially they're a Pac-12 team. They're expected to perform and beat the lower ranked teams. Teray Briggs led the team in scoring with 14 points. She also added 6 boards and a block, which is a good stat line. It is a very good stat line when your team only puts up 61 points.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it shows that they're going to have a little bit of trouble this season. But, I mean, it's a good stat line for a team for when you're playing a powerhouse team like Utah. But I think that the biggest takeaway for this game was the 54.5% from the three-point line that Nevada put up. That just shows that they're being aggressive.
And they're shooting the ball consistently from three. They went 6 of 11, which is good, 54%. You're making more than half of your three-point attempts. And it's good to – and they're probably shooting a better percentage from three than the men's are.
Yeah, I mean, the men's aren't even shooting from three right now, so it's showing that they want to be aggressive on the board with points there. And it could say something a little bit about how they play in the paint as well. We're gonna have to wait till we can actually watch a game at home and see it firsthand how these players play. We're talking purely off statistics today.
The team did struggle in the second half as they were outscored 51-35, which helps give you that lead of they won by 26. Yeah, no, Nevada really struggled. It was a close game in the first quarter. It was 19-16, and then the lead just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Nevada just wasn't able to come back.
No, you can definitely see that, but they did have a comeback the following week, or the following game against Portland State, where they won 67-55.
Yeah, this win pushes the team to 1-1, which is good. Amanda Levin's got her first win of the season, and it was in her first home game. Tage Zeller led the team in points with 16 points, where she also added 5 rebounds and 4 steals in 23 minutes of play. Briggs also added 10 points in 19 minutes of play, which it's good to see. It's good to see Briggs being like one of those stars when it comes to the offensive end of the court.
Yeah, and I like how in this next game that you see a different name pop up too. Zeller had a great game, 16 points and 4 steals, as you said before. And that's good. I mean, there's still not a whole lot we can say about women's basketball right now because
it's still early in the season and we haven't
watched a game yet. We're talking just off stats. We don't know how these players are actually playing. And once we actually make it out to a game and we can actually watch this team and see how they play, we can give you a little bit more insight on it. But for now, we just want to give you the stats pretty much and tell you what we think analyzing the numbers and what's coming next. So we can talk about last night's game against Pepperdine. Again, just like the men's basketball game, we did this recording yesterday before the game. And so we don't actually know how this game turned out, but we entered this game with a record of 1-1.
And so did Pepperdine.
And so did Pepperdine. So
it should be a good game. Pepperdine's it should be a good game. Let's see if Amanda Levins can push that winning streak to 2.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, you guys know better than we do if the Wolfpack beat out the Waves. But right now, from where we're sitting, it's anyone's game. So that's it for women's volleyball.
Women's basketball.
Women's basketball. Well, and that's it for women's basketball. We'll take another quick break and come back with more women's sports with volleyball. Stay tuned. About the tough week Nevada was about to have coming up off a great win streak, and we were right. 2 back-to-back blowouts for the Pack. First loss came to number 19 in the nation and first in the Mountain West, Colorado State, where they won 3-0. Garrett, despite this loss and being swept, it wasn't a bad match.
No, you're right. Nevada did kept this game close, as no set exceeded a 5-point deficit. So it's good to see that Nevada stayed competitive with the best team in the Mountain West.
And one of the best teams in the nation.
Yeah, exactly. Madison Foley led the team with 11 kills, and then followed suit with Shayla with 9 and Peyton Devon with 7. Dallin Burns led the team with 33 assists. And you were looking to see after this game whether or not the Wolfpack would have any sort of momentum coming from a competitive game against the best team. But it didn't look like there was any momentum.
No, but I mean, we talked about this on the show last week, how this was going to be the toughest week for Nevada volleyball, and they haven't had the greatest season. They've picked up the pace a lot coming into the end of the season, though. I mean, they had 3 straight wins coming into the game against Colorado State. But they were against lesser teams than Colorado State, and we figured some of that momentum might come into this Colorado State game. We didn't expect to win, but we did expect them to stay competitive, which they did, and I'm really happy to see that. But, the momentum just got sucked out after this Colorado State game, and they go into this next game against Wyoming, and they lost, and they got swept again 3-0. And it wasn't as close as Colorado State University, which you expect that this game was going to be the easier game out of the two.
Yeah, you thought, well, this was also a very tough team because coming into the match, Wyoming was ranked 2nd in the Mountain West. So it was a tough loss to swallow, especially. It's a tough part of the season when they have to face the 2 best teams in the Mountain West back-to-back. Shayla led the team this time with 11 kills, and Madison and Peyton followed suit with 8 kills each, and Dallin led the team in assists with 38 this game.
Yeah, Dallin Burns, she's on fire. I mean, 33 assists and then 38 assists, that's pretty good. She's like the number one passer on the team.
Yeah, she's, and it's good to see that she's up there in those assists, like setting up all those points. But this loss, these two losses move the Pack into eighth place in the Mountain, in the conference with a Mountain West record of 7-9, and their season's almost over.
Yeah, this is the last week of the season. They face off against Utah State and then Boise State this weekend.
Yeah, both these teams. Both these games are going to be tough for the Wolfpack because I don't know how much momentum the team has after two straight losses. It'll be interesting to see how they close out their season.
Exactly. We have a reporter going out to Boise State. My partner on the documentary, Nick Larson, he'll be out there for that Boise State game taking photos and videos for the social media. So it's senior night. It's the final game of the season. It's going to be a big one, and we want to be able to show that to you guys as good as possible. Garrett, is there anything else you want to say about this volleyball team before heading off?
Just good luck to the end of your season.
Yeah, good luck this week against Utah State and Boise State. It's going to be a tough one, but you've got it, ladies. Underrated sports at Nevada is rifle, which defeated number 10 in the nation, Army and MIT in West Point over the weekend, going 46-77 and 46-65. Still don't know if those numbers mean anything. Don't know how they work.
It sounded close.
It sounds like a close match, yeah, for sure. And it also sounds like a really good one with numbers that high. I mean, can you imagine a basketball game going that high?
I cannot. No, I cannot. The win now puts Nevada at 14th in the nation. I don't know how the ranking system works. So if someone could please tell us, that'd be great.
Yeah, we're still looking for a rifle know-it-all to wrap this one up for us as their season comes to an end.
Rachel Benish led the Wolfpack with an aggregate score of 1,173, and Mitchell Van Patten finished third with an aggregate score of 1,171, fought with an Army player in between both of them.
Well, I'm so blown away that our little Mountain West team can beat a school that their whole focus is around shooting guns.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of these I wouldn't say upsets, but like we beat number 10. We remember Ohio State was ranked higher than us. We beat them. So it's good to see that Rifle's actually doing well. It's a little bit of a surprise, not knowing anything about Rifle, to see our team doing well.
Yeah, Rifle is one of those things last year where we didn't pay a lot of attention to, but this year, I mean, they've been making headlines where they're beating, like, Ohio State, and they're beating all these big-name people, and now they're beating number 10 in the nation, Army. What does that mean for us? I still have no idea.
If you keep winning, we'll talk about you even more.
Yeah, but we'll still have no idea what we're talking about.
Sounds about right.
So, we didn't mention this before, but they actually set a school record at this victory in West Point. I'm still trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. That's why I got rid of it. Like, I read the article, and I didn't know what the record was.
So, according to Nevada WolfpackAthletics.com, Rifle did set a school record at West Point. Reading this article, I'm really not 100% sure what that record was. If you want, you can go take a look at it on NevadaWolfpack.com. Go under Rifle, and you'll find under News. I think maybe it's as high score. I think I've never seen Nevada's score get up to 46-77 before. So I'm thinking that might be it, but not 100% sure.
Yeah,
Actually, yes, that is. The 46-77 aggregate team score tied the Nevada school's record set earlier this season against UTEP. Aha.
We finally figured it out.
So, yes, Nevada did score an incredible high score against MIT at West Point and Army. I guess they're both together in this. And that's crazy. I think the fact that they're playing at West Point against MIT and Army and winning and breaking records, this team is on fire.
You got to be on top of your game and step up when the pressure is tough, and that's what they did.
I think this team, like Mitchell Van Patten, I know we've talked about him a couple times. He's been a big name on the team all the way since last season, and this guy must have some confidence in him. I can't imagine like every single week being either the top scorer or the second top, and like coming in like 2 points away from the top spot.
He's been a stud all year.
He's been a stud since he came to Nevada, and I just wish I knew more about Rifle, and I wish I could tell you more about this team because I think that they're incredible, and I think that they need to be talked about more and more.
We might need to get them on the show in the offseason.
I'm wanting to get Mitchell Van Patten on this show for all the way since last season, and we just haven't been able to get that scheduled, but we'll work on it for you guys, I promise. Gators, anything else you want to say about this team?
Good luck this weekend when they take on Alaska Fairbanks at home. At least I think we don't know where they compete.
Yeah, and not 100% sure where exactly Rifle competes. I don't hear gunshots on the weekends, so it must be kind of far from campus. But yeah, good luck to Nevada Rifle against Alaska Fairbanks. You guys got it. You're the best. You're the best we got. Finish off this show with swimming and diving. They had an up and down week this week. One loss coming from the reigning champs Boise State to start off their week, and then the following day they win against Fresno State, which is a team that they have won for the last 8 consecutive meetups, all the way starting in 2010-2011 season. They tallied 174 points against Fresno State's 109, and that's good for the Wolfpack. I mean, the fact that they lost to Boise State isn't too surprising. Boise State is a powerhouse team when it comes to swimming and diving. But we usually stay pretty competitive against them because, like Boise, we're a powerhouse swimming and diving team as well.
You're right, and it is so good to see that Nevada just killed Fresno State, and we've continued the tradition of beating them each and every year. And it's great to see, like, swimming have continued success against the Bulldogs. Nevada's one of those teams that can compete for the Mountain West title year in and year out. So I expect close matches with Boise. But if you beat the teams you're supposed to beat and keep it close with the teams ahead of you, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the mentality going in with swimming and diving, is that they want to take every game and do as best as they can. I mean, swimming and diving, they're individual sports, but the points are done as a team.
Mm-hmm. You'd like the individuals to win awards, but then it all comes down to a team.
Yeah, we have two individuals this past week, or in this, since the swimming and diving has started, that have won Mountain West honors. Andressa, I'm going to butcher this last name, Choldovsky.
Cholodowski.
She's a sophomore, and she won her first ever Mountain West accolade. And then Sheree Zhang, who we had on our show last season, is a incredible diver.
That seems so long ago that we had her on.
It was a long time ago that we had her on the show. But she also got accolades for diving this past in this season so far from events throughout October 31st. This upcoming week, the two teams split. Diving will travel to Flagstaff, Arizona for the NAU Diving Invitational from November 16th to the 18th. And then swimming will travel to Berkeley, California for a duel against the Bears on November 17th.
Good luck to both swimming and diving, and they're two separate meets. We wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, definitely the best of luck, and remember that this is just the beginning for swimming and diving. They've got a big season ahead of them, and lots of meets, lots of invitationals, and I think that we're going to do well. And Boise, we're coming for you. And that's the end of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning into Pack Center. Again, I am your host, Jordan Burns, here with Garrett Hirschberg. If you haven't already, give us a follow on Twitter at PackCenterNV, Instagram at PackCenterNevada, and Facebook PackCenterNevada for all your Nevada sports news and updates. From the Reynolds School of Journalism and Wolfpack Radio, go Wolfpack! Just forget the wins. It's the